If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Playing Around podcast. You're with Paige and Sam, and we have had probably the most eventful couple days of our entire lives. So I had a match against Jerry Kelly. It was supposed to be John Daly, and we're like, it's going to be the biggest drama of the week. And then, oh no, I'm flying home. And all of a sudden, the biggest bombshell in golf history drops, and the PGA Tour and LIV are merging together. So we're going to talk about both. But yeah, Sam, how was your travel day yesterday?
My travel day started with Wyatt, someone on our team, goes, I'm here to pick you up. And all of a sudden, I'm getting text at the same time about this merger. And I'm like, I need a second. Like, give me a second. I don't know what's happening. You're texting me. We're like all texting each other. We're exhausted. I'm like, I can't read another paragraph. Like, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you, but this whole thing, the whole last like 4 days, just been a lot.
It's like one of those things where it's like bad things happen in bunches. It's not that it's bad. It's just been like a stressful event after stressful event after stressful event. So we'll talk about the Beauty versus Beast match first, because that was something we've been looking forward to for a very long time. It has been in the works for, I want to say, potentially over a year now. It's been something that we've been wanting to do. We've been promoting it, super excited about it. And the morning of, it's 8 o'clock, get a text, and it's, hey, so John Daly is unable to play and even ride around because of a knee injury. So we're going to have Jerry Kelly fill in. Luckily, he's from Wisconsin. The match was at Geneva National in Wisconsin. It's a beautiful location, 3 golf courses there. We played the player course, and he was gracious enough to fill in, come out. I think he drove about an hour to get there that morning, and everything was just flying so quickly on trying to figure this out. And I really have to give a massive shout out to my team, the staff at Geneva National, and everyone involved in this event, because we didn't know what to do. There were over 2,000 people who were coming to this match, some from out of state, and we just wanted to make it the most amazing event possible and to do everything we could. And we just put all the pieces together kind of last second, and it was a whirlwind of a morning to try to fully figure all of this out. But it ended up being an amazing day. We changed the format up so it wasn't a competition, because Jerry Kelly is playing some incredible incredible golf, and we're going to talk about that in a second. And so instead of a head-to-head match, we decided to do birdies for charity. So $2,000 was donated for every birdie that we made, and I think it was like quadruple for eagles, which comes into play because freaking Jerry freaking Kelly, he told this story where when he first started out in his career, he had to fill in for John Daly during a pro-am, and one of his playing partners didn't know who Jerry Kelly was. It was like very beginning of his career, and he goes, God, we got to play with Jerry fucking Kelly today. I'm so disappointed. I want to play with John Daly. And Jerry overhears that, walks up, and he goes, hey, I'm Jerry fucking Kelly. And he tells that story on the first tee, and now everyone knows him as JFK. And he is such a great personality, but Jerry fucking Kelly shot unofficially, because he says that he doesn't fully count this, a 58 or a 59. Either way you want to cut it. He shot under 60. It was the best round of golf I've ever witnessed.
And I think what amazed me, and I know you were like walking and playing, so it was a little bit different. I was on the side, you know, taking all the cool pictures of you guys. But what amazed me was how like casual and low key he was about it. Like he'd be over a shot on a par three and be like, come on, why'd the band stop? Like pump up the music, and then hit it to 3 feet. I'm like, what? What is happening? So all things considered, like you said, whirlwind of a morning, especially on Monday, the morning of the match. But I think Jerry Kelly was so well received by the crowd. Everyone knew him. Everyone loved him, which from our perspective, like, okay, yeah, he's a big name. But in Wisconsin, like,
he's a hero.
They really yeah. love him there. Yeah, he was a hero. And so I think it really could not have gone better. All things considered, with the last minute call in favor that he did for us and the team at Geneva National. So it was so fun to watch. Both of you guys played amazing, but it was really a long few days, but a really fun few days.
Yeah, I mean, I had to prepare my game because I was expecting to play this match and we were going to stream it and there's a ton of people there. And because my schedule has been so busy, I don't have much time to practice. And then the last, I would say, 2.5 weeks, I've really stepped it up. I was taking lessons with Jonathan Yarwood, which I've talked about, and I've made a ton of progress. But I was nervous to go into this round because I struggle under pressure. I have a lot of course anxiety and I didn't know how it was going to go. I ended up shooting around a 66, had 6 birdies, and it felt, compared to how Jerry was playing, like an 84 because he's making all of these putts. But I'm actually proud of the way that I hit the golf ball. I normally struggle, like I said, under pressure, and it held up quite well. And you actually noticed that my swing looked quite different from previous times that we've played together.
It looks much more compact. Not that you had a long or like complicated swing to begin with, but in golf, as you guys know, if you play, like one minor change can make things look so much more comfortable. And for you, it looked so much more comfortable. But I'm curious, and I meant to ask you this when we were there, what do you think about over the ball? Like, how were you able to trust your swing? Because I feel like you do trust it more now, but how are you able to do that in the moment?
So I talked to Jonathan the morning of because I was nervous and I never really had like a great swing thought before. It was mostly just trust your swing, have good tempo, because under pressure I would get really fast off the golf ball. And so he gave me a couple tips. One of them was to write down the type of player you wanted to be. I think a lot of my issues come from a lack of confidence. And so having a game plan of knowing, okay, I'm going to be an aggressive player. I'm going to be a confident player. I'm going to focus on these key things. And when I worked with Jonathan, the goal is to play well under pressure. So we made swing changes that would help me do so because I've always never had a bad swing. I've always had a very athletic swing and I've just kind of let myself do what I feel is right. And so with Jonathan, he didn't want to change that, but we just made small little corrections. So for me, it was a slow takeaway and I would tend to kind of grip my club really hard and almost crouch down and shut the face. It was kind of this weird trigger move that I would do before I would swing, and it would set me up in a really bad position. So now I hover my club so that way I cannot bend down and crouch down. And I think slow, like as slow as I could possibly move on the backswing. And then it's just a bit of like a hinge and bend with my elbow. And that is all I was thinking about. And then the other thing was swing through it. When I get tense, I hit these like knockdown half shots. And so my goal was to hit full swings all day long. If I'm going to miss it big. And one thing that you said, because we were talking about having course anxiety during one of the practice rounds, we were joking. Sam was like my coach. We were doing like real practice rounds, like when we were in junior and college golf. But you said something that really stuck with me, because I said, I just get so nervous on the tee because I don't know what's going to happen. You said, who cares? Who cares if you hit an OB? Who cares if you, you know, shank it, or who cares? There's a possibility that could happen. Who cares? And you said that, and I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, I'm actually setting myself up to hit that shot while I'm trying to guide it, instead of just swinging freely and being like, you know, having that attitude of what's the worst that could happen? Well, you lose a golf ball. Okay. Hit it again.
Like, I mean, it's stuff like that that I try to tell like my parents who are weekend golfers the same thing, because I think it's a really important mindset to have of like, you're not, no offense, Paige, you're not playing in the US Open with this match against Jerry Kelly. Like, the worst that could happen is you hit someone in the leg. Like, okay, they'll be fine. Like, it's, or like you lose a golf ball, you hit in the water, you like, chunk okay. it. Like, okay, then you laugh at yourself. And I mean, it's whatever. Like, you're not like, no one's gonna die. We're not like starting a war. Like, it's fine. It's just not that serious. And I think that that's the only way I've been able to play golf since college, is remembering that.
Jerry Kelly said something really interesting on the first tee, because I said, hey, I'm nervous. And Teddy asked him, do you get nervous? And he said, absolutely. And Teddy was like, okay, yeah, you get nervous when you have a lead or you're playing these amazing golf courses and you're trying to win. He's like, no, I will get nervous for an event like this. I will be nervous on the first tee for just a fun little charity match. I will get nervous. And he's like, that's great. He's like, the day I stop getting nervous is the day I quit doing this, because it means I don't care. And he said, most people try to ignore their adrenaline. Nerves is just adrenaline. So with golf, I try to use that, and I use that to my advantage. So I see it as a positive. I'm going to hit the ball a little bit farther. I'm going to hit the ball a little bit better. I love that feeling. I enjoy that feeling. And that's very different from what I've heard from so many sports psychologists, where it's like, okay, now you breathe and you want to get rid of it and you want to stay calm. And I never did well with that. And when he said that too, I was like, okay, yeah, that actually goes with my other philosophy of trying to like swing big and go for it. And I was crushing the golf ball. I was hitting it so far that day, and it was because I was trying to use, you know, the adrenaline and what Jerry Kelly said. But all in all, it was a really great day, and I want to thank everyone who was watching the stream on OnlyPage. And if you guys aren't signed up, definitely go check that out right now, because we do a ton of really cool things like that. But I mean, Sam, the elephant in the room was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We got to talk about this merger that shook the golf community to its core yesterday. This is the biggest news.
I want to talk about your shot of the week.
Oh my gosh, my shot of the week. Oh man, there was actually a lot of pretty decent shots that I hit. I would say that the shot of the week would be the second shot I hit on the first hole. So I was so incredibly nervous. There's like thousands of people like lining the fairway. And I hit it right into the rough, and I never miss it right, but I missed the fairway right. And people were surrounding me. I had to hit this uphill lie and deep rough over a creek to this tiny bunker, to this tiny green that's surrounded by bunkers with people surrounding it. And I hit one of the best shots, where it was like almost 150 yards. I hit an 8-iron, crushed it, hit the green, and it was like a, okay, like I can do this, you know, because before I think if I had that shot, I would have maybe, I don't know what I would have done, but I wouldn't have pulled it off the way that I did. And even though it wasn't the best shot that I hit that day, it was the most meaningful shot that I hit that set my round up. And I think it's because I have so much confidence in my clubs and know that my clubs are fit perfectly for me. I got my loft and lies checked right before I went to this match at Club Champion, and I knew that my clubs could do exactly what I wanted them to do. So go to Club Champion, get your clubs, get fitted, play the best golf of the summer of your life this year, right now. Go to Club Champion. You can use my code PAGE. But merger talk.
I mean, should we lead this off with I said what I said.
Truly.
I mean, we literally called, like, not to like be like this, but we called this.
We called it. We talked about this. Was it literally last week?
It was on the last podcast.
That feels like centuries ago, but on the last podcast, we were talking about that the only way that this is going to be successful is for them to come together in a unified front and to be this global tour. That was the only solution that I saw in my head that this could be good for the game of golf. And you said that Brooks winning a major is actually the demise of LIV.
I said that because I thought that Jay liked getting the band back together. Like, he liked seeing everybody on the same range. He liked seeing everybody together again, not knowing that when we said that, it had been four or five weeks of them already in these rooms discussing this. I think that when we look at, and we'll get into everything, but when we look into how Jay Monahan says this, these conversations have been going on for the last 7 weeks. 9 weeks ago was the Masters. So I believe it when I see people say like the majors changed everything.
I agree. Also, the news just made me realize that none of us has any fucking idea what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Golf media doesn't know what's going on. All of these quote unquote sources. We've been discussing LIV versus the PGA Tour for 2 fucking years now. And all of a sudden, this bomb drops. We're a unified front. The players didn't even know. It was truly shocking. And it was kind of funny to see all these people be, you know, like insiders and act like they know so much and be absolutely just
wrong.
Blindsided. Yeah, wrong and blindsided by this news, and to see how they're reacting now. And it's like, my sources said, I'm not trusting your sources. I'm not trusting anyone. I'm just going to mind my business, see how this all plays out. But it is fascinating. It is truly fascinating.
So a quick recap, in case you do live under a rock and have not seen what's going on, we'll give it to you fast. The PGA Tour and the Saudi Public Investment Fund, which they call PIF, P-I-F. PIF represents LIV Golf. They are merging. The PGA Tour represents the DP World Tour, so they're kind of lumped into that. I'm trying to explain this to you like you're five, because I still don't really even know what's going on. The tour says this will form, quote, a new commercial entity to unify golf. That entity does not have a name. I do want to put up a graphic on the podcast account and put like, what should they name it? See if we can get any ideas, and maybe we can get a chunk of that money for our marketing efforts. This will be a for-profit company, which is interesting because the PGA Tour always like wags its dick around that it's a nonprofit. Monahan will be the CEO. There is a path to LIV players rejoining the PGA Tour, which we've said was going to happen. It's apparently been going on for about 7 weeks with only Monahan and like two or three other people in the room. So like you said, no one knew anything. All the lawsuits, the current pending litigation will be dropped. So yeah, that's they had a 4 p.m. player meeting yesterday. Golf Channel was live for over 7 hours without a commercial. First time they've done that. So yeah, what are your slight jab? What are your initial thoughts?
Slight jab. Ultimately, I think it's great for the game of golf. I was sick of this divide. If it went any longer, I think ultimately it is great for the game of golf. I think that we do need to be unified. I was getting tired of having these discussions of what's going to happen with the Ryder Cup, what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with this. And it was starting to look like everything was crumbling. And neither was going to be successful if they kept on this trajectory. So for them to come together seemed logical, like what we talked about last week. I don't know what's going to happen with the structure. There's no concrete structure of what's this going to look like. Is there still going to be a LIV tour and a PGA tour, and then they can do things together? Is it just going to be the PGA tour now and all the LIV players can come back? I don't know what it's going to look like. None of us know what it's going to look like. But I still like the idea of what I said before, where there are two separate tours. You have the LIV tour, you have the PGA tour. They can coexist. But the LIV tour focuses more on global golf growth. GGG. Copyright that. On global growth. So they can continue to play all around the world, and that's their focus. And then you can have the PGA Tour that continues to go, you know, week in, week out. What I would love on off weeks, where we say this all the time, there's just too much golf. It's the same thing. It's just too much. Let's do team events. And so you don't have to wait, you know, every couple of years for the Ryder Cup. Like, you can do really fun team events on weeks that are a little bit more boring. That's how I would like to see it structured. But again, I don't know. You don't know. They don't know.
No one knows. I think the number one question that I have is, what is up with the CNBC appearance? Like, there's so many other, golf channel. Like, they could have literally done this. I mean, then the golf channel people would have had to know, which I guess they were like trying to keep it super hush hush. What was up with that? Like, I was looking on Twitter, and then all of a sudden they were like, Jay Monahan's live now on CNBC. I'm like, what does that have to literally do with anything?
I think the CW was booked with Buffy reruns, so they had to go there because they just didn't have the space.
Honestly, yeah, that makes sense. I think there's a lot that we don't know. They keep saying that this is a framework agreement, basically meaning that this is their initial idea and they have no idea how it's going to play out either. What's interesting, though,
no one's really talking about the fact that there is a true risk of U.S. and European regulators could block the merger for antitrust concerns. So that is also a big part that's coming into play, because they were literally just like, surprise, we have this amazing idea. Like, what do you think about it? And then there's still all of these steps that they have to take for this to become truly official.
And they say that the 2023 season will continue on. The, you know, PGA Tour and LIV and DP World Tour seasons will all continue on as scheduled through 2023. I think if we're looking at this and looking at who wins, who loses, quote unquote, I think the LIV guys win. I think Brooks is the winner of all of this, right? He takes his fat check, wins a major, and has like no repercussions to go back on tour. And then you look at guys like Pat Perez, gets his check, shoots 82 for a year, and then gets to just go back on the PGA Tour with his friends. I mean, it feels really icky for guys on the PGA Tour. A lot of guys who turn down a lot of money, especially Rory, who's been the face of all of this, to just have no idea any of this was happening. Well, apparently he knew there were conversations, but he didn't know the outcome. And then to just kind of be aired out in this. What are your thoughts?
I have a hot take. This could be my I said what I said. I understand how they feel betrayed. And I would feel the same way if I was being told that you can't leave and you can't take the money and you can't do this and we're going to go against them. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to support you. And all of a sudden they're like, surprise, just kidding. I have trust in Jay Monahan that he would not fuck all of these guys over. So I'm trusting that he sees a bigger plan, and this was the only path that worked for everyone. And I believe all of those players that were loyal to the PGA Tour will be very well compensated. Very well compensated. Highly compensated.
That is a hot take, because
I think there will be a path where they will be highly compensated and the loyalty will be paid back to them. I just don't think that someone could truly, truly fuck over all of these guys, especially someone like Rory, who has been so loyal, who has been so supportive. He had his press conference today and he said, ultimately, this is good for the game of golf. And I think saying that and coming to terms with what is happening they probably had a discussion of, we're going to pay you back. This is going to be something that's going to be good for everyone. And I do feel bad for them. But at the same time, we're talking about guys who are making $100 million plus. Like, this is a lot of money. You know who got really fucked over in all of this is the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Where's the support for the women? This was the one time where it's like you could have added this in to really benefit, because we've been talking about this from 2 years ago. Growing the game. This is for growing the game. We want to grow the game. We want to elevate the game. You know what? We're going to elevate the game, but we're going to leave women out of this. And maybe checks out, but it's like, come on. Come on. So is it such an easy play for you to bring them in to truly elevate and grow the game and not just have the rich get richer? Like, let's do something to truly integrate them into this plan to make it worthwhile to grow the game of golf. And they're like, nah, not yet.
I think what sucks about that specifically is that it would have been a drop in the pond financially versus what they're dealing with, you know, merging with the PGA Tour. Like, it wouldn't have been as much money that they needed to integrate the LPGA Tour. And that's where I think it's sad, right? Like, we always see, like, the money is bottomless with the Saudis, the money is bottomless with the PIF, but apparently they don't want to have the women involved. So that's an interesting point for sure. I mean, I think that Rory's press conference this morning, we're recording this Wednesday, was interesting. I think something he said that I thought was funny was he said, I still hate Liv. I hate them. I hope it goes away. And I expect that it does. That's the only really explanation I've heard for how this is going to work.
If you get rid of the Liv tour, they all come together and it's like nothing ever happened, which takes like, at this point, it like annoys me. It's like, we threw it all this. It's like, at least keep it. But I think it's going to be good for the game of golf because you can take what was great about both tours and put them together. But Sam, I mean, the burning question, everyone wants to know. So are the guys going to be able to wear shorts now?
They better. I feel like that's what they really want here. And well, I mean, they said in the press release that team competition is going to be integrated here. So I'm
really excited about that.
I'm excited about that too. But going back to a point that you made a few minutes ago, how we always talk about how there's too much golf. I think this would be a good opportunity for golf to take a fucking chill pill. Like, you look at tennis, for example, look at tennis, where really the average fan only cares about a few of the tournaments, the majors, right? Why is golf not just like that? I don't need to really get up for the Valero Texas Open or, like, you know what I mean?
But you could if it's a team event, if it's a different format, if it's something that's fun, that's something that's different. I mean, I think you can get excited for stuff like that if they
not
do
the
it
cliques.
Right.
Can we come up with different names? What, like,
that,
what?
That will probably be part of coming up with new names for all of these teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, how this plays out. And everyone is like, I can't wait for the next season of Full Swing. It's going to be so fire. And I swear, we got to bring Chad Mum back on for this. If he leaves the drama out like he did last season, I will riot. I will be so upset, because you look at Drive to Survive, you look at the tennis doc, it's they add drama. It's exciting. And then the golf one was so boring compared to that. And these are the three most exciting years in golf history with so much drama. And they're like, let's explain the cut for the 20th time and talk about the pressure of making the cut. It's like, no, I don't want to see that. I want to see all of this stuff. And if he leaves that out, I will be so mad. I'll be so mad.
I think it's going to be interesting to see, because he did tweet yesterday that, you know, the cameras were rolling when this dropped. I don't know what that's going to look like. The cameras can be rolling. The footage does not have to be used, unfortunately. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think something that I'm confused about is what the title commissioner means. Because, like, it seems like the future of male professional golf was in the hands of, like, three people. And that's fucking scary. Rory didn't know, who's apparently, like, you know, the backbone of all of this player run organization. Tiger didn't know. Are you kidding?
Greg Norman didn't know.
Like, that feels so icky to me. And I'm confused, I guess, about the power that Jay Monahan does hold. While I want to agree with you that he wouldn't do this, it kind of to me, and this is kind of a hot take, it kind of feels to me like they had something on him and they were trying to blackmail him in a way to get him.
But there have been so many conspiracy theories of what's been going on or what's been happening. And yeah, you know, we always talk about one day getting a seat at the table and having power. And Tiger Woods didn't even have a seat at the table to be able to discuss this. But I'm at the point now where I'm like, I don't know. My whole world has just been flipped upside down. My mind has been blown. I don't know what's real and what's not real and like who has the power and who doesn't have the power and what's going to happen with this. But yeah, when you're like, okay, three people or who, it sounded like there have been three or four people that we know for sure who were highly involved in this to make this happen. And they shaped the game of golf instantly, that quickly, by making that decision. In 7 weeks, they just completely changed the game of golf forever. And that can be a little scary if they don't have the right intentions. But again, I am an optimistic person and I'm trying to be hopeful about this, because to be in that position, you have to be smart and you have to know how to handle very, very difficult situations. And I'm hoping that Jay Monahan had the right intentions and that he's doing this for all of the right reasons and that he will repay the loyalty of all of these players. And so I'm not going to say anything against it until I know otherwise, because I know how it feels to be in the public eye and have things that I have said or things that I do be highly twisted and have people have this misconception about who I am or things that I've said because of something that I said in passing on a podcast or something that I tweeted and I had a word that was, you know, not exactly what was intended, and how people can go absolutely insane about that. So I'm trying to do a better job of not coming at someone until I have all the facts, or trying to have all the facts, because this was very, very shocking. And I've been trying to sit back and actually take it all in instead of just coming out with like a super hot take just to have a hot take.
I think that's very mature of you, I will say, as a friend.
Very new. I'll probably change it tomorrow. I might flip it around.
But I think, playing devil's advocate here, I think the issue that people have with Jay Monahan, and I'm not saying this is our take, my take, anyone's take on this podcast, but is the hypocrisy issue. And that he would sit at a tournament in the booth with Jim Nance and say, you know, anyone who supports Liv, like, is basically said, like, is okay with 9/11. And like, you know, I can't morally support the people who did 9/11. Like, and then he's going to go and do this. And I think that that's the issue that people are having. I think if he would have kept quiet, would have never really said anything about it, and then did this, it would have been a very different story.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to shotscope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
Do you believe that people have the opportunity to change a hard stance on something once they grow, have more facts, mature? I think that there's something wrong with society right now. It's like you come out and you say something, and if you change your opinion on that, and there's so many layers to this, but if you change your stance on something, then you're a hypocrite. I would hate if someone wrote down everything I said at 20 and was like, these are your takes, these are your stance for the rest of your life. And if you change your opinion on something, then I will find you to be a hypocrite. I get what they're saying with Jay Monahan, but we don't know what's going on. We truly don't know what's going on. We don't know why he said that to begin with. We don't know why he made this decision. We know nothing. My goal with all of this from the very beginning was, what's good for the game of golf? All the other nonsense I wanted out there, what's good for the game of golf? And if this is what's best for the game of golf, then I'm happy. Because at some point, it's like, it's just, there's almost too much drama.
Too much going on. I agree. And I think that that's part of the hypocrisy angle, is like, we don't know what's going on. And the shock factor made people be like, what is this guy doing behind closed doors? You know what I mean? And that's where I think that people are getting upset. I think, like we've said, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that's going to come out over the next coming days. We're going to be talking about this for a while. Let's get into some listener comments.
Let's do it.
Because we asked on the podcast, we want initial thoughts. We want to know what you guys think. We asked on the podcast Instagram account. Follow us at Playing Around Podcast. Kick it off for us.
Okay, so this question is from Dawn. It says, what if this was the plan the whole time? Liv is successful. PGA Tour keeps its image while using Liv to grow the fan base. Also explains why Jay has been off the grid for a while.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I think that when this first started, no one knew if Liv could be successful or not. And once it started to gain traction, then it became a bigger threat to the PGA Tour. Once the players started to play well in majors and had access to play in the majors, then it became a very big threat. Another conspiracy theory I heard is that a couple big name players were threatening to go to the Live Tour, and it forced Jay Monahan's hand into making this decision.
I think calling Live successful is like a tenfold issue, because they spent how much money doing this, right?
Yeah.
They're not like a profitable business. So what does successful mean, right? Like
this,
how much
is
money?
I mean, sure. They used that to do this. Like, this was the ultimate goal all along. So I think when Dawn asked, was this the plan the whole time? For Liv, yes. This was the plan from the very, very beginning. This is what they wanted to do. Was this the original plan for the PGA Tour? Probably not.
Yeah. Probably. And I think it's just interesting, because now you would classify Liv as the winner here. But when you look at like how much money they're spending versus how much money they're making, it's not like, if you look at the business definition of success, a profitable business, like how much money did they spend to get all those players there? How much money are they spending on every event, and they're selling $30 tickets to 10,000 people? Like, you're not making a return on that. But I think the thing is, like, they don't care, right? Like, they have bottomless pockets, and it's just not, that's not what they're concerned with.
Yeah, cash is king.
If one thing we can learn from all this is that money talks, baby.
Always take the deal.
Always take the deal, because you'll just get let back in a year later anyway. So Larry says, the PGA Tour knew they would lose the court case. They've been holding back money for a while. How did all of a sudden they have these dollars to throw at these purses? Jay didn't want to open his books in the court. We talked about this a little bit via text. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, we discussed this. I think anytime you go to court, and this would have been a very long, drawn out court case. And we have seen that with the dates being pushed back and having to subpoena all of these different people. It is highly stressful, highly stressful. And I can't even imagine at this magnitude with both entities having so much money. It would have just gone forever, and that's not good for anyone. So I think that, again, this was the best option to ignore all of that. It's also stressful on the players because they probably would have had to come in, talk about this. It would not have been good for a lot of information to get out to the public. So again, I think this was the best route and no one wanted to go to court.
Ashley says, where does the game go from here? Drama, 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 or epic success?
I mean, I'm all for disruption, clearly. I think that the game of golf has needed to be shaken up for a very long time. It has been stagnant. It's always the same. We're always focused on tradition. And I believe, again, I'm hopeful, and I believe that this will be a massive kickstart to a new regrowth of the game of golf, to reaching new people, to reaching different demographics. I'm trying to be as hopeful and positive as possible because, again, we don't have all the information. It's going to play out for a very long time. And I don't want to say something now that, you know, in a couple of years later, I regret, because we were talking about LIV as if it wasn't a threat 2 years ago. And it just shows you, it's like, once if you don't have the information, it's really hard to have an educated take on what's going to happen. But what do you think?
I think it has an opportunity to be very successful if everybody can get over, you know, their little petty bullshit. And I think it's interesting when in Rory's press conference, one note that we didn't mention earlier was that he said he was never offered LIV money. He was never offered to go. I was under the assumption that everyone was offered to go, especially the top players like Rory. Did you, like, what are your thoughts on that?
That's interesting. I guess they knew that he had a very strong stance from the very beginning, that it's like, why even give a proposal or talk to him when you know you can't sway someone in?
They apparently offered Tiger Woods. Did they really think they were going to get him?
The thing about Tiger is it feels like throughout his career, although he has been supportive of the PGA Tour, he's never been as outspoken as Rory. And even as like an Arnold Palmer, there are certain people who have different goals and, you know, aspirations of what they want the game to look like. And I always feel that Tiger believed if he played well and he won, that that was the best way to get people into the game of golf. And he was right. You know, if that's what he truly believes, it's like, if I play well and I continue to do my job, which is playing golf really, really well, then I will bring more people to the game of golf. But with Rory, I think that he believes that his legacy is reach beyond that. So it's doing more work behind the scenes to be highly involved in the tour. So I can see why maybe they wouldn't go to Rory, but they would go to Tiger.
I think you make a great point about Tiger. And I think he is kind of the poster child for stick to your sport. He never really says anything about politics, anything about, he's not out there like tweeting statements when things happen that aren't related to golf. I think that's a very interesting point that I've never really thought about. I also don't know if Rory chose this or if he was just kind of like forced into this position. Something that he said in his press conference was, where is it? I'm trying to find it. Something about feeling like a sacrificial lamb, which I think is quite the hot take.
You can always say no, though. And when you look at his press conferences, he is very well spoken. He's very passionate about this. And I do think at some level, he ultimately wants to grow the game of golf. And he has that really good intention to grow the game of golf. And I think at times, sure, he's put in positions that might make him uncomfortable, but you can always say no. And I believe that he does want to have a massive impact on the game, much bigger than just playing really good golf. It's like, also, it's different for each person. Michael Jordan said when they asked him to speak about political issues, he said Republicans and Democrats, they all buy sneakers, you know? And so there is some pressure to like alienate one group. And we've actually seen this throughout the past 2 years of people who have taken very hard stances against LIV. Brandel Chambly, for a great example, it's like, what do you do now? You know, like you almost put yourself in a really bad corner. And he had to come on Golf Channel and he said it was the saddest day and professional golf. And it's like, what else does he say? Because if he's now in support and he will probably have to be in support of it because he works for the Golf Channel and this is the way that golf is going, then he is going to look like a hypocrite. So sometimes it's like you put people in positions that where they can't win. It's a lose-lose situation for some people to have an opinion, stick to opinion, be passionate about opinion. And then when you're wrong, then you're crucified for it.
It's tough. I mean, everybody's kind of put in a tough position right now, Rory included. Matt says, good for golf in the long run, but feel bad for golfers who turn down the money just for Jay to turn around and take the money. And to that point, in his presser, Rory was asked if players who were offered the live money but declined should now be compensated, like we talked about earlier. And his quote was, the simple answer is yes. The complex answer is, how does that happen? And I think it just goes back to what we're saying is there's so much that we don't know. They're not like Rory's not going to get the $500 million he probably would have been offered by Liv. But what, like, how do you begin to make things right for people who were loyal to the PGA Tour? I have no idea how that works.
Well, I saw someone tweet that a potential option is for the LIV players who decide to come back to the PGA Tour will have to pay a fine. And each fine will be different for each player depending on the situation. I don't believe that they could fine Phil $300 million. I think that's unreasonable. You can't give the money back and that would be unfair for the LIV players. I believe that what they can do is they have 68 billion dollars now that they can play with, they're going to be fairly compensated. It is what it is because there's no path forward where the players who are loyal do not get compensated. It's just not going to work then. Or then Jay Monahan will have to step down if that's the case.
There was apparently a standing ovation when people called for his resignation in the player meeting yesterday. So while we are, you know, want to believe that Jay is doing the right thing and wouldn't put his players in this situation, a lot of players don't feel the same way and they feel very betrayed, which I think will be very interesting to see how this framework agreement actually plays out.
It was interesting watching how certain players were interacting with the news publicly yesterday. For example, Wesley Bryan was trying to live stream during the players' meeting. And he was laughing about it and didn't seem to be in that much distress. And maybe he copes with humor under stressful situations, but it didn't quite match his original tweet that he put out where he felt so hurt by the situation. And then a little bit later, he was trying to almost get clout off of the situation. And that a little bit rubbed me the wrong way when he did that.
Yeah, I understand that too. I think that's going off of that comment, Tiana, which she's the girl we met from the podcast at the match. What's up, girl? Commented and said, keeping it a secret from the players was the worst part. There should have been some form of communication to their loyalty, but love the idea. And I think it'll make for some fun golf. Well, that's what I think is hard.
So right? I have a question. So we know that it is a player run organization, which means that the players have pretty much, historically speaking, all control of massive decisions, this not being one of them. Do you think that Jay Monahan did this because there were too many cooks in the kitchen and he couldn't get done what he needed to get done when he had all of these different voices telling him what he needed and what he had to do for them?
So I think I have two thoughts on that. One is, yeah, probably, because how are you going to keep, I don't know how many people are in the Player Advisory Council. Isn't it like 14 or 10 or 15 or something? How are you going to keep all of them quiet? And quiet, though,
yeah,
right?
True,
like,
true.
I'm sorry, but if I'm on that Player Advisory Council and I hear some shit, I'm at least telling like my boyfriend and you and my mom and my dad. So now that's like five people.
So what we learned today out of this entire podcast is never tell Sam a secret.
Listen, I'm a great secret keeper, but I also believe that the people around me are also just me. So like, that's not really an extension of like, you telling me was, I mean, you should have just assumed.
You knew what you were getting into. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. So, but second to that, I think that yeah, like you said, there's probably too many cooks in the kitchen. I do think, though, he should have, quote unquote, should have said something to the players or at least the advisory council before coming out and going live on CNBC and sending an email. That's what I think was a little, even if it was the night before. Like, I think the heads up, the not having a heads up and having JT tweet that his phone is blowing up while he's practicing, like, it's just, that felt icky to me.
I agree with that. I would say that no matter any situation, it's brutal being blindsided on social media and not being the first one to know, whether it is business or personal. We have all been in a situation where you see potentially like your ex posting something for the first time and not giving you a heads up, or you're talking to one of your friends and she says she's never gonna get back together with their boyfriend. All of a sudden they're posting on Instagram that they're engaged. Like, stuff as simple and as little as that really hurts you and makes you feel like you've been betrayed by someone that you trust. So I can understand why the players feel this way, and not giving them any heads up at all. It could have been sending an email out 30 seconds before they went live, a minute before they went live. It didn't have to be a big heads up, but to find out on social media, that's rough. That's really rough.
Yeah. That's what I think felt the worst to me, because of how much they've like pimped out the player advisory council and how much work they're doing and how many meetings they have. And then for all of them to have no idea was just kind of weird. I want to throw it back to probably 2 years ago when the biggest controversy in golf was hoodies and joggers. Can we go back to that? That was a much funner timeline to look at on Twitter.
Or I remember Tony Finau won and they're like, what's his McDonald's order? Or, and everyone was like talking about that, or should music be allowed on the golf course or not? And now we're talking about things where I'm like asking my boyfriend, I'm like, what is this business term and what does this mean for this? And I'm like,
what does merge mean?
I'm like growing so much as a human being though.
Wow. Look at you. She's a businesswoman. I think it's, I do think it's a little bit unfortunate that this again happens on the RBC Canadian Open week. Damn, that tournament just keeps getting shafted, bro.
But how does Michael Block play into all of this? That's what we need to know. Does he still have his sponsor invite?
Oh my God. I think that, what did you, this is a text from Paige. What did you send me about Michael Block last night that was so funny?
I'm avoiding all Michael Block texts from here on out after the last controversy that we dealt with him not, quote unquote, kissing his wife.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah, I forgot about that. But I think it was something, we talked about something along the lines of like, I just want to see him walking out of the players meeting and like talking and doing an interview.
Like his reaction to all of this.
Like, please.
You know who needs to not do interviews right now? Every single player. It's just like...
Bryson was on the news this morning. I mean, that guy doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on. That's like a disservice. Like, it was kind of embarrassing to watch. Like, he doesn't have any answers. And they're putting him in this situation where he's forced to just be like,
no one does,
No one knows
what's going on.
It's tough.
No one does. Before we wrap up this episode, there is massive news, which is again being overshadowed by all of this drama. And it's that Rose Zhang won her first LPGA event as a pro. She turned pro, won the event. Rose has had an absolute stellar junior and amateur career. I was looking at some of her stats from college, and it's truly incredible. And I don't feel like she really had her moment to shine and to get the press that she deserved because of the timing of all of this news. But Rose Zhang, is she the next female Tiger?
I mean, at this rate, I mean, she won the ANWA in April. She wins the NCAA championship in May, turns pro, wins her first LPGA event. I mean, that's insane. And she was in a playoff against Jennifer Kupcho, who we know very well from the first ANWA event. And kudos to Jennifer. She lost to Rose in the playoff and was the first one to spray Rose Zhang with water on the 18th green. So I think that was just really cool to see. But yeah, sucks that it was overshadowed.
Well, Rose had so much composure in her interviews as well. She looks like a seasoned pro. She was doing autographs and pictures with kids after, and I was truly, truly impressed by her at Liberty National. Liberty National, by the way, one of the coolest courses ever. That backdrop, amazing.
Insane. And I think we talked about this a little bit. I think there's an innocence with her and her golf swing and her game where it doesn't, and this could, I could be totally wrong. I've only seen her through a TV, but it looks like she just doesn't have many concerns and thoughts and stress over the ball, which is how I played when I was, you know, 18. I didn't fucking think about anything. And so I think that that's something that I really hope she can harness and continue with, because it's really awesome to watch. It's like she steps over the ball and just knows it's going to go on the green close to the pin.
Her swing is just so mechanically sound. There's not a ton of moving pieces. I think when you look at certain players, Rory, for example, sometimes you look at him and you're like, I don't really know where this is going. But his swing looks beautiful. But with Rose, you're like, she's going to hit the fairway. She's going to hit the green. She's probably going to make this putt. She looks so calm. And when you think back of the best rounds of golf you've ever had, what do you think? Nothing. You don't think anything?
Like, I wasn't even there. It was like a fever dream.
Exactly. And every single round that she plays looks like that. And she has this confidence, this air about her, but it's not a cockiness. And that's really hard to channel. Someone like a Roger Federer has that, but you don't really see that too often, where she's very confident in her abilities, but she's also very humble. So I'm excited to see her career span, and it's going to be a very, very successful one.
Well, it's been a long year.
Okay, bye. I'm pooped. Oh my gosh, and it's only June.
I meant it's only Wednesday. Felt like a year this week. But yeah, only June as well.
Oh my God, I think your favorite podcast girls need a little bit of a nap. And it's been...
I will be taking a nap today. If I go missing after lunch, just don't worry about it.
We'll be napping. But thank you guys so much for listening and supporting. Don't forget to leave your questions on the podcast account, the Playing Around podcast account on Instagram. Leave us 5 stars, write a nice review. Don't forget to subscribe, send to your friends, all of the above. And we will catch you here next time. Love ya. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. New customers download the PointsBet app today and sign up in any of PointsBet's live states with code PAGE to get 5 second chance bets up to $500. That's 5 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager and bet credits. Again, that's promo code PAGE and enjoy more live betting markets than ever before. PointsBet. Your move. Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services, or visit www.1800gambler.net.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.